Dope.
What's it say?
We're doing Shavuos Tet Zayin Amud Aleph. It's in the middle of a nice sugya all about Yerushalayim. I thought it would be appropriate to do this lichvod Yom Yerushalayim next week. It also has to do with this past week's parsha, but we'll get there. And we're going to be dealing with the idea of the kedusha of Yerushalayim, what its current status is, and what it means for bringing korbanot. What it means for the Har HaBayit, all that good stuff. So, Itmar Rav Huna. I'm all the way at the top. Itmar Rav Huna. Whenever it says Itmar, so it means that they had already had a conversation about this. They had an Amoraic conversation about the Mishnah. I'll just tell you, the Mishnah is actually discussing how to extend the boundaries of Yerushalayim. When Ezra came, he extended the boundaries of Yerushalayim. Before that, the boundaries of Yerushalayim were extended. How does that come about? And the answer is the Mishnah says that there are a list of conditions that are required in order to extend Yerushalayim.
You do it for Maaser Sheni. What would you extend?
It would extend it for, yes, for Maaser Sheni, for the limits for Korban Pesach, for things like Lulav and Esrog, possibly, according to the Rambam, and other reasons. What? For the walls of Purim. Maybe.
Although it's not dependent.
Right. What is considered Yerushalayim? Right. So
what does Itmar usually mean again? When I see Itmar.
Itmar usually means that we're returning to a discussion between Amoraim.
Returning to a discussion we had before.
Yeah. So, but first I'll tell you that the Mishnah gave a list of conditions that are required. The conditions include you have to have the approval of a king, a prophet. You have to, or the Urim Betumim. You have the Sanhedrin of 71. You have to have two korbanot todah, the lobes of two korbanot todah, and you have to have the Levium singing. Okay, so these are all requirements that are listed in conjunction with extending the kedusha of Yerushalayim. Comes along Rav Huna, and says bekol elutnan. It says with all of these in the Mishnah, and Rav Nachman's Amar beachat mikol elutnan. So they disagree about the actual language of the Mishnah. Are all of these things required, or do we require only one of these things? According to Rav Huna, you require all of them, and according to Rav Nachman, you only require one of them.
What does the language of the Mishnah say?
The actual Mishnah?
Yes.
So our version of the actual Mishnah, I have to find it. Our version of the actual Mishnah appears to say... over there it's Bikol Elu, but that's talking about something else. Yesatoma. Here. No, that's not it.
Yes, to be was.
It doesn't actually say. The words Mikol Elu or Mikol Elu doesn't actually appear. It just says She'ein Mosifin Ala Ir V'Al Azarot Ella, and then it has a list.
What does it mean you need them? Navi and Sanhedrin.
You need to have the Sanhedrin ratify it. You need to have the Navi tell you.
Approve it.
Yes.
After a Navi approves it, the Sanhedrin can say
yes,
no.
Yeah.
But it came from the kosher. I mean, the Navi didn't say out.
That could be a pro forma thing. Like it's required to ratify it. Yeah.
They would make second elections.
Yeah.
They're all going to do it in October, I think. Oh, get ready by Wednesday.
So yes. This machlokas Amoraim between Rav Nachman and Rav Huna is going to basically interest us for the rest of the daf. So Tnan is Mikol Elu Tnan. Rav Huna, who said that you need all of them, Amar Mikol Elu Tnan Kasaver Kedusha Rishona Kitchel Shata Ve Kitchelati Lavo Ve Ezra Zecher Baal Mahudav. Rav Huna says, actually, what happened is that, because keep in mind, during the time of Ezra, was there a king?
No.
Was there a king when Ezra was around?
No.
So when Ezra extended the Gvul of Yerushalayim and the Kedusha, did he use a king?
It wasn't.
So what does that tell you?
That you don't need.
It tells you either that you don't need a king, or.
Or you need a king when there is
no,
a king.
But a king is just
that it was already kadosh. That's what it means. Rav Huna says, because Rav Huna says you need a king. Rav Huna says you need a king. So what? So he would say, what happened? What did Ezra do when he came back to Yerushalayim? And he did this whole tekes in order to be makdish Yerushalayim again. What was the point of that? What was the point of Ezra's ritual ceremony? So Rav Huna is saying it was a tekes. It was nothing. It was zecher ba'alma. It was just a zecher. Because it can't be that Ezra was actually doing it because he had no king. So it can't be that he was doing it. Ezra zecher ba'almahu. David. Rav Nachma amar ba'achas mikol elutzan kasavar kedusha rishona kitchula shatzav lo kitchula asilavu ve'ezra kedusha kadish avagav dolo hava urim betumim. And he focused on the urim betumim. There was no king either, but there was also no urim betumim. There's actually a list of things that weren't in the second base of Mikdash. Urim betumim is in there. So what does Rav Nachman say? Rav Nachman has the luxury of saying that Ezra was Makdish Yerushalayim, because he says you only need one of them. Ezra's a Navi, they have a Sanhedrin. You just only need one of them. So, you can say that Ezra was Makdish, but what does he lose now? He loses a proof for saying that the first Kedusha of Yerushalayim was the final Kedusha. Okay, so what's at stake here is two things. Rav Nachman and Rav Huna are arguing about something very small. What does it take to be Makdish Yerushalayim? Not small, but something that is interesting, but not nearly as interesting as the other thing that they're arguing about, which is whether the Kedusha Rishona that Yehoshua set up, right, of Eretz Yisrael, and maybe that David set up and Shlomo set up in Yerushalayim itself, whether or not it ever dissipated when we were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. According to Rav Huna, it didn't, and that's why Ezra was able to do something, because he didn't really do anything. And according to Rav Nachman, it did, and Ezra came in and recreated the Kedusha.
If it never dissipated, then why do you need anybody? You don't need it.
You don't. You're just saying that, A, the first time they did it, they needed it. And if you ever want to extend, enlarge the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, then you need to do this. And Rav Huna says that, well, that's not what happened when Ezra did it. Ezra was just doing it for fun.
Okay, for fun.
So,
Kedusha Rishona is what all of it is saying. You can expand Yerushalayim as much as you want, and you don't.
Right now, we're just talking about Yerushalayim.
Okay. And the Kedusha of Yerushalayim is David HaMelech. And how much?
Shlomo, yeah, David and Shlomo.
And how much can you expand it?
You could expand it as much as you want.
No,
but you need.
Kedusha Rishata was how much? I don't understand. Again, Kedusha Rishata is Kedusha Latin Lavot, that's fine. That's on the existing Yerushalayim. Now you want to expand that.
Yeah, you still need permission.
Yeah.
Right. So you need permission.
Level of what? What's Latid level? Till where was Latid level? Let's say now.
How much Kedusha was there?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's a good question.
It would be less than what Ezra had. Therefore, Ezra must have had some kind of permission to be able to extend it.
It doesn't seem that way. I mean, that doesn't seem to be what Rav Huna is saying. Rav Huna is saying that it was just Zecher Ba'alma.
So on what basis did he extend it then?
Who said he extended it?
Oh, there's not an assumption from everyone that he extended.
No.
Okay.
Rashi says, in the middle of that Rashi says, Klomar, Shulo ziv klum ba'orech v'rochav. Umay dekadesh kitechtiv v'amida shtei todo l'zecher ba'alma avad. The pasuk in Nehemiah says that he did this whole tekes. That was just the zecher ba'alma. He didn't actually do anything with it.
So to where was the Kedusha of Yerushalayim?
I think just the old city. The reason why we treat Yerushalayim, the greater Yerushalayim, the way it is, as far as I understand it, is only because you can see it, and because it's a contiguous part of that Yerushalayim. Once it discontinues, so then it's not so clear. That's why, like places like Mevaseret are somewhat in dispute, whereas Bayit Began, for example, is not.
Even by the gun, you really can't see the Kotel.
You can't see it, but it's contiguous. Okay. That has to do with the Gemara and Megillah that talks about the difference between Mishkan Shiloh and Yerushalayim. Okay. That's Rav Nachman. Good. V'ezra Kedushi Kadesh. Afag Abdullah Haber Mitum. Good. Etivei. What kind of question is Etivei?
Kushia.
What kind of Kushia? going to be a contradiction from a higher source. It's like a meitave, same thing. Well, yeah, because here we're talking about Amoraim, Rav Nachman and Rav Huna, so it's very easy to knock them out because all you have to do is bring a Tanaic source. So, and if they lose, then they lose. So, Eitivei Rava li Rav Nachman. So, Rav Nachman is getting the contradiction. Kol shelo naseit b'kol elu. Okay, so good. So, he quotes a brisa that says, Kol shelo naseit b'kol elu. Sounds like they're all necessary. Tani ba'achas b'kol elu. So, okay, so Rav Nachman says, no, I have a different girsa. In my version of that brayta, it says b'kol elu. Okay, fine.
I have a different edition. That's yeah. What it is?
Same to Rebbe.
What?
Same.
Yeah,
same.
Same to
Rav Nachman. Yeah, Rav Nachman. Yeah, this is Rav Nachman. Good. Tashma. So now Tashma means that we're going to try to bring a proof to one side or the other. Tashma, come in here. Abishal Omer, Shnei Bitzin Hayu Bahar Hamishcha, Tachtona ve'elyona. Tachtona nitkadsha b'kol elu, elyona lo nitkadsha b'kol elu. Ella
b'ol v'gola. Was he also a Mera as well?
No, Abishal is a Tana.
Abishal is a Tana.
Yeah, this is from a Tosefta in Sanhedrin, which means it's just, you won't find it in Sanhedrin, but
okay.
It's in kind of, whatever, it's a Tosefta. So he says there were two, best word is marshes, okay, bitzin, like a bitza.
There are
two bits. It's a marsh. It's like a swamp. Yeah.
It's a marushka.
Like
marusha.
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 Marusha. There you go. Marishka. Marishka. All right. So it's a marsh.
That always helps us.
Yeah. Sometimes it's fun because the word in French is very similar to, well, we probably stole it, but Shnei Bitz Nayu Bahar Mishcha Tachtona Velyona. So there was a higher one and there was a lower one. So, and what was the difference? So the Tachtona Nitkadsha B'Kol Elu Elyona Lo Nitkadsha B'Kol Elu Ela Ba'ol V'Gola. Says the first one, the lower one was nitkadesh with everything, and the upper one was lo nitkadshe tkadesh kol elu ela ba'ole gola shelo b'melech v'shelo b'urim b'tumim. So the higher one, which I'm getting confused now, the higher one was only nitkadesh with the second wave. So that's Ezra. The Ole Gola. So they were Mekadeshit, and obviously they didn't use the Urim V'tumim, or a Melech. Tachtona Shaita Kedusha Kedusha Gemura. So in other words, they did something. So what was the difference between the Kedusha that already was there from the first, and the Kedusha that came only with the Ole Gola, which was lacking a Melech and Urim V'tumim? So Shaita Kedusha Gemura, the Tachtona, which was full Kedusha, Am Ha'aretz Nechnasin L'Sham, Ve'ochlin Sham Kodshim Kalim, Avalo Maaser Sheni. So it's going to get a little bit confusing because it's going to invert it. But basically, it says here that the Tachtona, which had the higher Kedusha, confusing, Tachtona, which had the superior Kedusha, so the Amei Aretz, they knew enough to know that they could eat Sham Kodshi Kalim, but they didn't know that they could eat their Maaser Sheni.
Because they didn't know that they could.
They're Amei Aretz, I guess so. So the Chaverim are knowledgeable Jews, Talmid Chachamim. So they knew that they could eat Sham Kachi Kachim, and they could also eat there Maser Sheni. What about the Elyona? Elyona Shaloi Takdusha Tagmura. It didn't have a full Kedusha. Amei Aretz Hayu Nichnasan Sham Ba'ochlin Sham Kachim Kalem Aval Lo Maser Sheni. Same thing. V'chaverim ein ochlin sham lo kachim kalim v'lo maser sheni. So they didn't eat either because they knew that there wasn't it wasn't good. Okay, so
what
that's what they
mean by elyona and tachtona exactly.
There's an upper part of that area of the harzaisim. I guess.
Isn't the bit where they bring the different kavaras and like the right written master, right? They had to bring them with the different places, and then they had the outside wall where it was not considered.
I think so.
Marcus, right?
It could be. Oh yeah, Marcus, yeah. Third parak, yeah. Probably.
Where did the Me'aretz eat?
Haris Asim didn't look like it does now.
Where did the Me'aretz eat Masel Sheni?
Right.
I guess all the way inside.
Only inside.
All the way inside, yeah. So then, so lo maaser sheni. So the Gemara takes an aside and says, "Umibnei ma lo kitshuha." Shein mosif an halayir v'ala azarot ela b'melech v'navi v'orim b'tumim. Uber Sanhedrin. Shalayin Aleph. Sorry. Uber Sheitodot. Uber Shir. So there you go. So that's why they weren't Mekadesh it, which sounds like directly like Rav Huna, who says you need all of them.
You need all of them.
So then the Gemara says, V'lama kitshuha? Mm-hmm. And the Gemara says, what do you mean, lama kitshuha? Ha'amar talo kitshuha. So weird. It says, what do you mean? We just said, we're not Mekadesh it. So they changed the question. Ela, lama ichnisua? So why did they bring it in? In other words, why did they do anything? Why did they do anything with it? And they say because it was exposed, and so it was more easily conquered from there. So they wanted to add stuff, I guess, to prevent people from conquering the area. A little bit unclear about what exactly this means. Rashi says, "Gluya ve'avata makom shehi nocha likavesh." It was wide open, so I guess they wanted to do something over there, so they enclosed it so that it wouldn't be easy to conquer. That's the only reason they did what they did. It didn't really add on any kedusha at all. But nevertheless, this is a question now on Rav Huna. So Rav Huna is going to respond, and he says, "Tanaihi." What does that mean, Tanaihi? It's a machloket Tanaim. In other words, you had a good question. You brought me Abba Shaul. So I'll tell you what, Abba Shaul says that, but the truth is, he's just one side of the coin. The Tanya, here is a Braita. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer said, Shamatik sheyubonin beheichal asu klayim leheichal v'klayim la'azaros, ela shebeheichal bonin b'bachutz, u'ba'azaros bonin b'mifnim. So Elazar told this interesting story. He said, I heard that when they were rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, so when they were building the Heichal, so they made curtains in the areas where they were building. And the way they did it was that the curtains, when they were building the Heichal, the curtains were on the outside. So they were on the inside of the curtains while they were building. But the Azaros, they were bonim mibifnim. They put the curtains on the inside. Actually, I have a diagram over here. Yeah. So the curtains were on the inside.
The
curtains were on the outside of the wall, on the outside, and they were on the inside of the wall, the inside.
So they don't go in there.
Right, that's why they put the curtains. Yeah. They put curtains. Yeah. And then they built the wall around the curtains. I'm talking about the inside part.
It's like how they do it in summer projects.
Right. They didn't want to be standing in the area.
While they were building. So they put the curtain and they built it from the outside.
Exactly. And then on the outside part, the Azara, they put the curtains on the outside and they stood inside the curtains.
That's like a summer project.
A what project?
A Tama project.
Oh.
Tama 38.
Right.
They put the curtains outside, they're like inside, right?
So that's what they did. Now, this only becomes interesting after Rabbi Yoshua says what he says. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, right, this is Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer, they lived at the same time. Shamati shemakrib ben afa bishayin bayis. Ochlin kachi kachim afa bishayin klayim. Kachim... So Rabbi Yeshua's response was, I don't know what you're talking about, I heard that you're allowed to bring karbanos even when the Beis HaMikdash is not there, which means that the Kedusha remains forever. And claim or not, the claim don't matter whether you put curtains up or you don't put curtains up. You didn't do anything, the Kedusha remains forever.
Which means even today I could bring karbanos?
That's what he just said. So the Gemara extends this and says, "Lav mechlad Rabbi Eliezer savar lo kitchel asif lavo." So the Gemara wants to frame this as, okay, the machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua appears to be that Rabbi Yeshua thinks that the kedusha rishona kitchel asif lavo, it remains, and Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. And Rabbi Eliezer says it doesn't remain. That's how Rav Nachman, right, wants to get out of this problem. Because Rav Nachman has to find the Tana who says the other way. So he'll have to say that Rabbi Eliezer holds that Kedusha Rishona, Kidsha L'Sha'ata, V'lo La'atid Lavo. But then we have
so
to understand...
you don't need everything, right? That's what he's saying.
Right, okay. Right. So then the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then what's the point of the curtains? So it says... Well, first the Gemara says, Mimai Dilma Dekliyama Kutshu Shona Kitshala Shayata Bekishalati Lavo. First, Ravina says to Ravashi that, you know, how do you know? Maybe everybody really agrees that it's Kedusha Lati Lafo. Umar Maidishmir Lekamar, Umar Maidishmir Lekamar. You'll notice that they only said Shamati. They didn't say this was their opinion, like they hold this way. They just said, I heard this how they did it. And the other one said, I heard this how they did it. It doesn't mean that that's their opinion about it. And the Gemara says, V'chi Tema Klayim Labi Eliezer Lamali. And then you'll ask me, okay, then according to Rabbi Eliezer, why do they need Klayim? Litzniuta Ba'alma. He just says they wanted to. It wasn't appropriate for people to be looking inside while they're building the Beit HaMikdash. So that's why they didn't want to do it. So in that case, Rav Nachman has no support, and nobody agrees with him that it's not Kedusha Lasid level. Elahani Tanai. So we have to reject that one. That's not the Tanai. That's not the Machloket Tanai. We have to find another Machloket Tanai so we can find somebody to support Rav Nachman. Otherwise, he loses. Elahani Tanai, the Tanya. Am Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yosi, Lama Manu Chachamim et Elu, Shekshaalu Bnei Agola, Matzu Elu Vekitchum, Avabishonot Batlu, Mishabatla Haaretz. Okay, so this is confusing. What's this talking about? So we need some Rashi help. Rashi says, Mama Manu. Four lines up from the bottom, the wide lines. Ayarot Manu Chachamim Beperek Batra de Erchim. There's a list of cities at the end of the Gemara in Erchin. Shayim Mukafot Choma Miyamot Yoshua Ben Nun. Leinen Mitzvot Batei Ari Choma. So this actually has to do with this past week's Parsha. Megillah, and also this past week's Parsha. At the end of Chukotai, exactly. Yovel, and the dinim of selling homes in walled cities. So the idea over here is that when they came back, right, when Ezra came back, well, the Gemara in Erechin discusses the whole issue of which cities are considered Arei Choma from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. And when Ezra came back, there's a whole list of cities that became Arei Choma. So
that newly became Arei Choma.
Well, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, Manu Chochamim et Elu, Sheksha Alu Bnei Agola, Matzu Elu Vekidshum. You see that when they came back, they found cities and they made them Kodesh. They made them Batei Arei Choma. Avarishonot Batlu, Mishabat Laharetz. Sounds like Alma, Kasaver Kedusha Rishona, Kitchelat Shata, Velo Kitchelat Lavo. Sounds clearly, according to Rabbi Shmuel of Rabbi Yossi, that when Ezra and his friends came back, they were Mekadesh cities again. And the ones that they weren't Mekadesh were Batel. They were no longer Kedushot, and they didn't have their status of Batei Arei Choma. So there is a support for Rav Nachman. So the Gemara says, wait a second though. Uraminhi. What's Uraminhi? It's another contradiction, but from the same source. Same source. In other words, this is going to be a question on Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. In fact, it's going to be a question directly on Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. Why? Because it's him. Uraminhi. I'm Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. This is a pasuk from Dvarim, right? It says these are all cities that are Batei Arei Choma, that they, meaning all the ones that were listed were already listed. So why would they have to be relisted? Ella, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yosi continues. Lama manu chachamim et elu shekshalu bnei agola matzu elu v'kidshum kidshum hashta ha'amin l'kaman delo tzricha l'kdushe ela matzu elu umna'um. V'lo el bilbad ela kol shetala v'yadcha masoret mi'avotecha shemukevet choma mimot shujo ben nun kol mitzvot elu no'oget ba mivnei shekdush rishon ekdush kidsh l'shata v'kidsh l'atid lavo. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi himself says that it was just a list, but there were others that were also Kadosh because they remained Kadosh from the time of Yoshua ben Nun. Meaning, this Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says that everything that was Kadosh is Kadosh. So which, will the real Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi please stand up? Which is it? Because in one place he says that it's not, and in the other place he says that it is. So what can we do? Kasha, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Ad Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Mm-hmm. Question: internal contradiction between himself. So What do we do? So here we get a master class. What does the Gemara do when faced with a contradiction? So option number one. E-bite ema tre tanai aliba de Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. One option, one way out is to say that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is being quoted by somebody. His students, they have a deficient Masorah. He's being quoted by two different students, and one student says he says this, and one student says he says that. Or actually, I may be saying that the opposite way of the way it is. It could be that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is quoting somebody. Hold on one second. There's our school. Do it. Say, yeah, no. What I said was correct. Two students disagreed about what Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi really said. They should have been taking notes, or they should have recorded it. They didn't. That's number one. That's one way of getting out of it. In other words, you just say, oh, it was said by two different people, something like that. Ibaitema chadi minayi rabbi loza rabbi yosi amra yitani rabbi loza rabbi yosi omer asholochoma afa bishen loachsha vayelo kodom lachen. Or you just say that there's a small mistake, and that is that the word Yishmael should be removed and replaced with Elazar ben Yosi. Elazar bar Yossi. In other words, because we find that Rabbi Elazar bar Yossi did say something about this. He says, "Asher lo chama, ava bishen lo achshav, vaya lo kodim lachen." In other words, that it remains, right? It remains kodesh.
So we're good with
that. Which means Rabbi Yossi. Yeah, either way, well, the second one is better because it means that Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi really did say it. According to the first answer, we're not sure whether he said it. But maybe it's good enough for Rav Nachman to back up Rav Nachman. Okay, so we have this big machlokas on Marayim between Rav Huna and Rav Nachman. It's a two-part machlokas. One part is, what does it take in order to be Mekadesh Yerushalayim? All of it, or only one of the rules, or only one of the elements on the list? And in conjunction with that machlokas is the bigger question of Yerushalayim, Kedusha L'Sha'ata or L'Atid Lavo. Okay? Now, you brought up before, I forget who brought it up, but there should be a difference now maybe between Eretz Yisrael versus Yerushalayim. Whatever we say for Yerushalayim, we would say the same thing for Eretz Yisrael? Because there are different rules for all of Israel than there are for Yerushalayim, right? Yerushalayim has the issues of Meser Sheni, of Korbanos. Eretz Yisrael has issues like Trumas and Maisos and Shvis and things like that. So if we look actually in Tosos, he has an interesting point to make. In the words Dekuli Alma,
we have it on our page?
Oh, you should. So he says, Vim Tomer de Perakam de Chagiga Itle de Rabbi Eliezer de Lokit Shalati Lavo. So at a certain point in the Gemara, they said, oh, maybe Rabbi Eliezer really holds that Kedusha Rishona is Kit Shalati Lavo, and he just was telling you what he heard happened. So Tosa says, why do they bother? We have an explicit statement in Chagiga where Rabbi Eliezer indeed says it's not Kitchelati Lavo, supporting Rav Nachman, and he explicitly says that it's not Kitchelati Lavo. Gabi Amonu Moav, Maser and Maser Ani B'Shvit, that over there he says that in Amon and Moav, he's talking about Eretz Israel, that Masrin Maser Ani B'Shvit, that they were able to extend it to Amon and Moav.
From a historical perspective, the Bali Tosfos would think that they're bound to go with that kind of attitude, that there's no, that the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael is not Atid Lavo.
He's not picking a position. Tosfos is not making a position. He's saying Rabbi Eliezer. Tosfos is just wondering, why does the Gemara entertain the possibility that Rabbi Eliezer thinks that's Atid Lavo if Rabbi Eliezer explicitly says somewhere else that he doesn't think that?
So they're repeating.
It's not an opinion. Not yet. It's not an opinion, for sure. So he's wondering why the Gemara doesn't bring it up. Tosfos will offer an opinion about something over here in order to solve the problem. That's how you can find what Tosfos thinks. He also quotes in Beitza, Nami idle Rabbi Eliezer de igul bi igulin ole bebreito de litra ksiot man de idle hachi kasavar chuma bezmanezet de rabbanon. Fine. Either way, he claims that Rabbi Eliezer clearly holds that it's not Kedusha Latid Lavo. So why does the Gemara entertain the possibility? So he says, V'yesh lomar, the Kedusha sa'aretz lagabe truma o masrot betela. Yes, Rabbi Eliezer definitely thinks that the Kedusha of Eretz Israel as a whole was batel when we were kicked out of Eretz Israel. However, v'hacha ayri b'kedushat mechitza. But here we're talking about Yerushalayim. talking about Mechitzot Yerushalayim. That's something else. Because he comes up with a technical statement. We'll see. The Rambam has a different view over here, but he says because it's called Nachala, and the Nachala can't be gotten rid of. Ukdushas Bate Arichom, the mighty Besamach Nami Abe Kedushas Mechitza, and also Bate Arichom has the same din as Yerushalayim. You have to say that because the Gemara lumps them together. In other words, according to Tosas, this whole daf is not about Eretz Yisrael. It's only about Yerushalayim and other forms of Kedushat Mechitza. So that's why it's able to entertain the possibility that even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that it's kitchelati level. When Rabbi Eliezer clearly holds elsewhere that Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael as a whole disappeared after we were kicked out. Okay? All right, we'll stop there. And we'll go to the source.
Well, my point is that he was bound to go, the Tosfos was bound to go with that opinion.
Why do you think Tosas is about to go there?
Because he lived in the Gullus and the time of the Middle Ages, and they lived then, and that was very much like there was no opportunity for them to be the Bali Tosfos in whatever Europe. There was no opportunity for them to be Israel, so they had to have the opinion that they could show.
First of all, there were many Bali Tosfos. When we say Tosfos, there's a ton of them. And you can find many different opinions about many things. It's interesting that you say that. There is one Baal Tosfot, Rabbeinu Chaim, who thinks that that there's no mitzvah to go back to Eretz Israel, and during his time at least, because it's too complicated.
Right.
Not because he didn't want to, because he said it's too complicated. We don't know how to do Shemitah and things like that. But no, but I don't think it's valid. I don't think it's valid to say that they felt that there was any lack.
They were justifying their existence in...
I don't think so. I don't think he did, but many others didn't. There's a variety of opinions amongst the Baalei Tosfot about that, amongst Ashkenazim in general. The most famous person who doesn't seem to record a mitzvah of living in Eretz Israel is the Rambam.
Right.
And he actually went to Israel and then left, but he had to leave. All right, let's look at the Rambam. So let's take a look at the Rambam. And there are three halachas in the Rambam which are extremely famous. We should know them all by heart. I don't know them by heart, but we should. The end of Perek Vav of the Rambam's Hilchos Beis HaBechira. Here we go. Kol makom shelo na'aseh b'kol eilu u'kaseder hazeh ein kiddush gamor. He gave a list of what you have to do in order to make it kadosh. V'zeh sha'aseh Ezra shtei todot zikaronu. Who does he hold like? Clearly?
Rav Huna.
Rav Huna. Shasah lo b'maasav nitkadesh ha-makom shelo yasham lo melech v'lo rimbetumim. He wasn't able to be mekadesh it because he didn't have a melech rimbetumim. So you can't make it kadosh without everything. U'bamen iskacha b'kedusha rishona shekitcha shlomo shukidish ha-azar v'yushlaim neshatam v'kitcha lati level. But look what he says. He says, like Rav Huna does, that it was a kedusha rishona which was forever, lati level. Comes along the Ravid. Okay, you know what? Actually, skip the Ravid for now. Let's read the other two halachas of the Rambam, then we'll get back to the Ravid. Other two halachas of the Rambam. Tezvav. Lefichach, makrivina karbanot kulan, afa bishen sham bayit banui. We can still bring karbanot, even though the Beis HaMikdash doesn't exist. V'ochlin kachi kachim b'kol ha'azara, afa bishihi chareva.
Doesn't he contradict himself with this halacha somewhere else, right?
This particular, we'll see that there is a contradiction, but it's not about this point. And you can eat kachi kachim anywhere you want in the azara, even though it's desolate. You don't need the mechitzos. V'ochlin kachim kalim u'maser sheni b'kol yushalayim afa b'shein sham chomos shehakdush harishona kishlashata v'shkishlati lavo. You can do everything you want to do in Yerushalayim.
As long as you're tahor.
Yes.
That was separate.
Well, that's okay. Why do I say that Yerushalayim and the Mikdash Kedusha Rishona Kitchelatid Lavo, but I also say, I say that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim, Shlomo took care of it then and forever, but Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, once Yehoshua's kibush was over, once we left and went to Bavel, the Shemitah and the Yovel and the Meiser and the Truma, it all went bye-bye. Why do I say that? לפי שקדושה סמיקדש וירושלים מבני השכינה בשכינינה בתלה. Because the kedusha of Yerushalayim is because of the Shechina. And the Shechina is never batel. In other words, what did Shlomo do? He really just found a place for the Shechina. And once the Shechina was there, it's there forever. You can't be mevatel the Shechina. It's got inherent kedusha. Now, it's a little bit different from what Tosfot said, because Tosfot used the word nachala, so he was able to cover with it all of the Batei Rechoma. The Rambam wouldn't seem to be able to do that. He won't say that the Shechina exists in Tveria, right? Or in any of the other walled cities. He's not going to say that. So he says, Varehu Omer. And he says, Hare Omer, Vahashimoti ad Mikdashechem. This is from last week's parasha. Vahashimoti ad Mikdashechem. And what does the rest of the pasuk say, by the way? Velo Ariach. We'll get back to that in a second. So the Rambam quotes the tradition of Hashimoti et Mikdashechem, it's from the Gemara and Megillah. V'amru Chachamim, Afal Pi Sheshomim En Bikdushat Sanhem Omdin. It seems to be that the Rambam is learning from the placement of the verb and the noun. That it says Hashimoti et Mikdashechem. That even though they're Beshomima, they're still Mikdashim. If it would have said et mikdashechem ani eshomem, I don't know what it would have to say, then we wouldn't be able to say this. But because they're still called mikdash even after their shomem, that means that they're still kadosh. That's what the Rambam seems to be saying. It's just a support though. Aval, what about chiyuv haaretz b'shvit u'b'masrot? Einu ela b'bnei shehu kibush rabim. Where did the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael as a whole come from? Not from the king, and not from Sanhedrin, and not from the Navi. Where did it come from? From the conquering that Yehoshua did. Kibush Rabim. V'kevan shenilka chaha aretz miyadeyem, batel kibush. But once they lost the land, the conquering, poof, went up in smoke. So did the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. V'niftara min ha-Torah b'masot u'mishvit sharei ena min Eretz Yisrael. It's not called Eretz Yisrael anymore once they got kicked out. V'kevan sha'ala Ezra v'kidsha lo kidsha v'kivush ela b'chazaka she'echziku ba. V'lefichach kol makom she'echziku ba oli b'avu v'nizkadish b'kidushas Ezra ha'shniya hu mekudash hayom af avish v'nil kach haaretz. Nevertheless, the Rambam, at the end of the day, don't mistake the Rambam, he says it is still kadosh today, Eretz Israel. He just says it's not the kedusha Rishona that did it, it's the kedusha Shniya that did it.
And he's talking about a chazaka.
It's a contradiction.
But, he says,
but there was a lapse in the chazaka.
Oh, so that's what he's saying. He says, "Kol makom shehichziku ba oli bavel v'nitkadesh b'kedushas Ezra hashniya, hu mekudash hayom v'afal pi shenil kach haaretz." It's not a chazaka in the language of, like, you know, once, twice, three times chazaka. Yes. Chazaka is that we came in and we took over the land, and we kind of took ownership of it. V'chayab b'shviyat u'masot al derech shebiarnu b'halchot shuma. Now, truth is, at the end of the day, Chumas and Shvi'is are not Daraisa today. They're not, but for other reasons. Not because the land doesn't have Kedusha Sa'aretz, but because of the amount of Jews, and because of we don't know who owns what land, and things like that. Fine. So, according to the Rambam, just lay down the rules. Kedusha Rishona in Yerushalayim, Kitchelatid Lavo. In order to make it any bigger, we would need everything. Navi, Melech, Sanhedrin, Todos, Shir, everything. Urim B'Tumim, everything. Or it could be one of those three. Actually, I have to look at it again, more carefully. I don't know, maybe it's either the Melech or the Urim B'Tumim or the Navi. I'm not sure. I think it's all of them, though. I think it's all of them. So, you need all of that. Meanwhile, Eretz Yisrael, Kedusha Rishona, was Batla. Kedusha Shnia was Latid level.
But the only real Nafkamin is the 70 years of exile, ultimately. As soon as Ezra came back, whenever he settled,
Kedusha
became
Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah, became Kadosh.
Yes.
And then onwards.
So yeah. Right. Now, take a look at the Raifid.
I'm trying to think of what is the difference that the second Kedusha, the second Kibush, if you wish, is that the right word, but the second habitation remains with the Kedusha as opposed to the first one.
So Rav Yosef Karo was wondering about the same thing. And so before we get to the Ravid, we'll look at Rav Yosef Karo. The Keset Mishnah. says Mashakatsu Rabbeinu Aval Chiyuv Ha'aretz B'Shvius V'Maisos Eino Ela V'Neishu Kibush Rabin V'Kevich Nulkach Ha'aretz Midem Batal Kibush V'Kevich Ola Azra V'Kid Shalok Kid Shavikibush Ela V'Chazaka Shikisi Kupa. I should have just cut all of that out, but whatever. Eini Yodea Makoch Chazaka Gadol Mikoch Kibush. I don't understand. Why is Koch Chazaka stronger than Koch Kibush? V'Lama Lo Nomar B'Chazaka Gamken Mishu Nulkach Ha'aretz Midenu Batal Chazaka. Why don't we say it also got, went away when we lost the land? V'Tu Barishona Shinit But we also did chazaka when we did kibush. It got both. We conquered the land and we took ownership of it. Atu miadifa chazaka below kibush mechazaka in kibush. Why would it be any better? Another way of saying it, I think the Radbaz says, I'm not sure exactly where it is, I don't have it, I thought I did. I think the Radbaz says, what are you going to say? That Ezra is greater than Yehoshua? Yehoshua did the first one. Ezra is even greater than that? Why?
Is it the fact that it's kibush rabbin?
That should make it worse or better?
Better.
So, but it's worse. It's more fragile, apparently. More,
right, but it should make it.
It should make it better.
Yeah.
That's the question on the Rambam.
Right.
It's a good question. So, before we get there, though, let's look at the Ravid, though. So that's a good question on the Rambam. We're going to ask some other questions on the Rambam, but the Ravid, just in general, the Ravid at the top says. Where did the Rambam get this idea? No, the truth is, this is very hard to understand. Where did he get the idea? Well, we just read it. What do you mean? It's basically Rav Huna. What's the problem? All right. V'kama makomot b'mishnah im ein mikdash yirkav u'b'gemara amur d'nefal mechitot amur l'manda markdusha rishonah loge shalati labo lo chalak b'ein mikdash yushalayim mishar yitzal. Now this is the problem that the Rebbe had. He didn't understand the chiluk. He just wrote on the wrong halacha. He didn't understand the chiluk that the Rama made between Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael. Where did the chiluk come from? Now Tosus also had the chiluk. Right? Ella, where'd Ella go? He says Rabbi Yosi says that the Kedusha of Eretz Israel returned forever, but he doesn't think that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim ever returned. Sorry, not that it didn't ever return, but rather that it wasn't Atid Lavo. He claims that Rabbi Yosi, according to Rabbi Yosi, that the Kedusha Shnia sanctified Eretz Israel then and forever, but the Kedusha Shnia of Yerushalayim did not sanctify Yerushalayim then and forever. And that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim does not remain, it's just regular Eretz Israel today. And he says, why would he do that? Why would that be the case? Lefi, he says, not only does it make sense, but also Ezra did it that way. Lefi Shahaya Yodez Rasha Mikdash Yerushalayim Atid and Lehishtanot, Uli Itkadesh Kiddush Acher. Olami bekavod Hashem laolam kach niglimi sora yashal yirab l'fichach hanichnas at Hashem ein bo karet. She says Ezra on purpose didn't mekadesh this whole the Yerushalayim in a way that it was completely kadosh forever, because he knew that one day there would be a third Beit Hamikdash when it would be here to stay. So he wanted to hold off. It's like, you know, when the rabbi makes the bracha on Sfirat HaOmer, so you have in mind, I hope you all have in mind, not to be yotze with his bracha, because you want to make your own bracha. So Ezra didn't do that. Ezra didn't be Mekadosh, he wasn't Mekadosh forever. And he says,
Ezra had the power to be Mekadosh temporarily.
That's a big chiddush. It almost sounds like he has the power to do either one. He had the power to do it forever, or the power to do it temporarily, and he chose to do it temporarily, which is a big chiddush. It's very interesting.
I would wonder why.
Some point out, you know, you could compare it to, we do some things like this. We do, for example, you can make a bracha on something and put a timer on the bracha, right?
Like candles. Yeah.
You can put a timer on the bracha. How do you put a timer on the bracha? For example,
like candles before Shabbos. Uh-huh. If you're going in the car to shul, uh-huh. Candles before, and then
and Shabbos doesn't take effect for another 20
minutes. Right? No, that's good. That's not what I was thinking of. I was thinking of, you know, Ashkenazim. We make a ala gefen right at the beginning of the Seder.
Right.
There's a big question, how do we make a Al-Gafen again in the second bracha, the second coast? So lots of answers, but some answers say you just have in mind not to your bracha will only go so far. Your bracha will kind of run out of power. Yeah. At that point, you want to be able to make a bracha again on the next coast. Some question whether you can do that, but that rationale exists. However, this doesn't seem to be a good paradigm, because, for example, you can't be Mekadesh a woman
temporary
for a limited amount of time. You can't say, we are now married for the next 5 years, and then it will dissolve on its own. That won't work. You can't do that.
The Muslims.
You can't do that. So, and you can't be Makadesh an animal, right, for 5 minutes. You can't do that. You can't be Makdish something. So it's hard to understand how Ezra could do this, but that's what the Rebbe claims, and he says he knows this. So Hashem Yireyat. It sounds like the Rebbe knows
he's
this
doing
mystically.
This with land, right? We sort of know.
No, Yushalayim is doing this.
Yeah.
We don't have like we don't have any source on how he knows this.
No, he just it sounds like he came to him in a dream.
Did the Rebbe live at the same time as the Rambam?
A little bit after.
Sometimes
they were not.
No, they never talked. No.
And also the point of the animal is you can redeem the kedusha of the animal.
You can undo it. You're right, but that's not what we're talking. Here's he's saying that Ezra just let it, you know, paka bechti, that it went away by itself.
Because we also. With Shemitah, we know that like land has different kedusha in different years. It's sort of like a
that's a temporary kedusha.
Yeah, like in a sense.
But that's not. Yeah, but okay.
So in terms of space, you, there could
but that
be
may be that may be time
or
maybe
that's time and space.
It may be time.
Maybe.
The big deal over here is what the Rebbe says at the end, because this has caused a lot of the tumult about going up on Har Bayit nowadays, right? According to the Rambam, it's Karet. It's still Kedusha. It has the same Kedusha that it always had, right? What about according to the Rebbe? So he says, Sora Shavni Rev, Ein Bo Karet.
Because it doesn't have Kedusha now.
Good. So some say Ein Bo Karet means
something else instead.
That, yeah, but it's still Usher.
Yeah.
It's still Usher, and why would it still be Usher? So some answer, based on the Ramban, that there's still Mora Mikdash. In other words, there's still an element of Mora Mikdash over there that we have to respect the place.
Are we talking about the entire Har HaBayit or certain
parts? No, certain parts. The parts that you were never able to go to.
And do we know today where they...
We know in the general vicinity, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Some say, though, that according to the Ravid, the whole thing is fine. But either way, the Rambam seems to win the day over here. We had a few questions on the Rambam. So first we had the Kesef Mishnah's question. Let's add on some more questions on the Rambam. We'll see how much time we have to answer them. These are questions that the Stipler Gaon, the Kilos Yaakov, came up with. And they're based on other Rambams. Joe, you asked if there are contradictions to the Rambam. Yeah. So he doesn't say anywhere, oh no, you can't bring Korbanot. He doesn't say that. But what he does say are he takes positions on other issues that seem to go against his whole Kedusha La'atid Lavo stance. For example, the Rambam in Hilchos Isuri Mizbeach says as follows, HaMatil mum b'kachim kegon shesima eino o kato yado loke shavinemar b'korban kol mum lo yebo. What happens if you have a korban that you are makdish, you're bringing it on the way to the Beit HaMikdash, and all of a sudden you decide, you know what, I like this guy. So you poke its eye out. Now it can't be brought on the Mizbeach anymore, right? Can't be brought on the Mizbeach anymore. Are you allowed to do that? No, it's Asur, and you get Malkut for it. You're not allowed to put a mum on an animal. That is Kadosh. Rambam says that was only true during the times of the Beit HaMikdash when you could have brought it as a korban. But nowadays, because it was Ra'ui the korban, but nowadays, even though you violated a lotase, you're not loke.
But you wouldn't have violated the lotase to start with.
What do you mean?
Because you wouldn't have been makdish the animal.
If you have an animal that's kadosh, you can still be makdish animals nowadays. You can still be makdish animals. If you have an animal in your house, you can say I'm makdish, and that's big trouble. Now you gotta. You gotta take care of it until it dies. Right. And that's it. You can't get anything out from it.
By the way, Lemaisa, what does a farmer do who has a
cow? He doesn't do that. Oh, a bechor.
He does.
You haven't seen that video in Beit Shemesh?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you look it up. In Park Ayalon, they did a video on. You don't have to look very far. There are a lot of YouTube videos.
Park Ayalon, they do
that? Yeah, they did. Really? They, all the kids were there. It was great.
Well, did you share that once?
Pidyon Petar Chamor, they did. Petar Chamor, they did.
What did they do?
I don't remember.
So what
did they do? They did it. No, I think they were poded, I think. You don't check it. Well, Pidyon Petar Chamor, you don't check it. You break its neck.
Well, the same as the Pidyon
of it. Petar Chamor.
You don't break its neck.
But you take a coin, you use a coin or whatever. Is that the same thing?
No. Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, a seh. So, you replace it with a seh, and then the seh you could bring as a korban. Either you break the neck of the donkey,
right,
or you bring a seh as a korban. You give it to the kohen. But yeah, bechor is the same din. So bechor, what do they do with bechor? What do they do with bechor? They probably do the same thing.
I think they make a mum before it's born.
Maybe. I don't think they do.
Then,
you can't manage to do that all the time.
Yeah.
And Meiser Behema, I don't know. I think they probably have something where they... You know what they do? You know what they do with... what do all the companies do with all of their trumas and maisos? You know? What they do with all their trumas and maisos? That they do? You know, like, we take trumas and maisos in our homes, it's like a tiny little nothing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you have huge companies with big fields. Yeah, what do? Yeah. They take trumas and maisos. They bring it to the zoo. The zoo's animals are owned by Kohanim. And they give it to the animals. That's what they do with it. That's what I mean.
You're talking about animals like hippopotamus and elephant?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
And they give
the elephants are eating tumor.
I believe so. I believe so. It's not like good fruit, you know, it's like... I'm pretty sure that's what they did. That's what I remember. Mary Miller told us that. I remember.
He told you?
He showed us an article about it as well. Pretty sure that's what they do. And they're owned by Kohanim, like jointly owned.
I think it was before the owning was some kind of an IVF and it comes out of.
That doesn't sound. What were they doing before that? I mean.
I don't know.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
I can't be that's the solution.
A Bechor is a real fashla. I mean, it doesn't happen.
I can't be.
Doesn't
really
happen.
All right,
yeah.
Tzarchian, we got to look this up next time. Put it on the WhatsApp group,
that's
whatever
like,
you find. Homework.
Probably right, industrial, like, how about it?
This guy.
I want
to see it on the WhatsApp group, whatever they do. We got to figure it out. So, but here's the problem. The Rambam seems to indicate that there's a difference between nowadays and the time of the Beit HaMikdash. But he said that korbanos are allowed nowadays. So how can he say this? The Minchas Chinuch asked this question, as well as Rav Stipler Gaon. More read the Minchas Chinuch inside. That's what he says. Here's another one at the bottom of the page in Hilchos Bechoros. Habechor ein podinoto shnemar ach bechor shor or bechor kesef or bechor eiz lo tiftei. You can't be podet. V'chein ein mochinoto k'shehu tam shekevin shehu omid lekorban ein lekoin bo zchut k'dei lemachro. He can't sell it. V'zman hazeh she'en abayit hoyo v'hu omid la'achila harei hu mutter lemachro v'af b'shehu tamim bein lekoin bein lesal. Maybe that's what they do. Maybe they give it to a kohen and the kohen sells it. Maybe that's what they do. The kohen can sell it. Maybe that's what they do. So either way, though, once again, the Rambam makes a difference between Zman HaZeh and the time of the Beit HaMikdash. But there shouldn't be any difference because you can still bring it as a korban. You can bring it as a... What's the deal? How can you say that there's a difference? So the Kilas Yaakov... Oh, you know what? Before we get to... which answer should we give now? It's a Stipler Gaon. Rav Yaakov Kanievsky. Rav Chaim Kanievsky's father. Should we answer my father and Rav Yosef Karo's question first? Let's do that first, because I don't think I have anything on the sheet about it, so we might as well do it now before we forget. So there are a couple of answers to the question of what the difference, let's remind ourselves, what is the difference between Kibush and Chazaka? Rabbi Ben Arsh gave a shir on this when he came to Kingsway. And I was trying to actually look up the source that he quoted, and I couldn't find it. But there are a few answers to this question. The Tosas Yom Tov answers this question and says that it's simple. It's actually just a political reality. When a country conquers land, they own that land by dint of their conquering. That's it. That's why they own the land. And when it gets reconquered, it's not theirs anymore. You lose it the same way that you won it. However, when a land is settled by people peacefully, it becomes theirs forever. That's the claim. And so when Ezra got permission to come back to Eretz Yisrael from the reigning people, and they resettled the land peacefully and took control, so that was a permanent yeshuv. That's
whose answer is that?
That's the Tosas Yom Tov. Another answer, similar but a little bit different, attributed to various people, the Malbim, the Gra, says that the difference was that during the Kibush HaAretz, who is really Kovesh? Yoshua, but not really by himself, right? It was miraculous. It was God.
Yeah.
God was Kovish. God conquered the land. This is where it comes into the idea of, you know, is Yahushua really worse than Ezra? But the answer is, yes, Yahushua is worse than Ezra because, and this is a principle that comes up, is often quoted during, I've seen it quoted in the context of Yom Yerushalayim and in the concept of Kedushas Haaretz, that people think that God creates Kedusha, and according to many of the late Achronim, it's actually man that creates Kedusha. So Soloveitchik writes this in his book Ethical Man. He disagrees with the Ramban about this, but he basically says that the only Kedusha that Eretz Yisrael has is because we are here and we imbue it with Kedusha. It doesn't have its own Kedusha. It doesn't have any Kedusha in and of itself. It only has Kedusha because we are here to give it Kedusha. Eretz Yisrael, we're talking about Eretz Yisrael right now. Eretz Yisrael, the first time it was basically God infusing it with Kedusha. But the second time we came in and we built everything by ourselves, that was us infusing with Kedusha, and that's why that Kedusha stayed forever. The Meshech Chachma famously says, how could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai the first time and threw the Luchos on the ground? How could he do that? But anyways, why did he do it? Why didn't he just put it to the side until the people did their tshuva, and then he could bring them back? Why did he have to break them? So the Meshech Chachma says, because he knew that if he would keep the Luchos, then the people would believe that, okay, these Luchos, they have inherent Kedusha. And almost like we should worship the Luchos, because they have inherent Kedusha. They are Kadosh. They're holy. And Moshe didn't want that, because it's not true. They don't have inherent Kedusha just because God made it. In fact, it's the opposite. The fact that God made it means that once they no longer serve any purpose, they're done. Get rid of it. What happened to Har Sinai? Anybody know where Har Sinai is?
No.
No, and we don't care. Because the moment that Matan Torah was over, Hashem said, Hema Yalu Bahar. Go ahead, everybody can go up. That's not where it says Hema Yalu Bahar. Yeah, Hema Yalu Bahar. Bimshoche Ovel, Hema Yalu Bahar. Once the shofar finishes, everybody can come up on Har Sinai because it doesn't matter anymore. So in what Meshech Chachma would like to say from that is that Kedusha created only by God does not have any internality to it in this world. Only Kedusha created by man. And that was the difference between Kibush and Chilah. What?
That's why the Nachmanim go to
Umar.
It is a little bit counterintuitive, but that's what many say. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik was very strongly about. That's the tradition over there. A very halachic, brisker tradition. Now, back to our other question. How could the Rambam say that there's a difference between Beis HaMikdash then and now if he said that you could bring Korbanot right now? So if you turn the page to the Kilas Yaakov, so he has a piece over here. V'nira l'taritz divrei Rambam zal hanal al pi ma shematzati b'chinuch. He says, look in the Sefer HaChinuch, Taf Mem. He says, achar shebir de'isr shchutei chutz, there is an isur. If you're makdish a korban, right, makdish an animal, you're not allowed to shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's shchutei chutz. Noig bizman hazeh, he says it applies now. Nowadays, if you are makdish a an animal, you can't shecht it in Ranana. Mishum sharoi lefnim, he says, because you could bring it inside. The chinuch filed the Rambam, he says, because you could bring it to Beis HaMikdash, to Yerushalayim. Shemakirivim alf bishen bayit. Katav aval ein hakavana lomar shiyalav chiyuv lahakiv korban beis hamikdash achshav shulchariv zed davar baruhu. Okay, interesting. So Sefer HaChinuch said something interesting. He said, you know, back in the day when we had the Beis HaMikdash, if you were makdash a korban, you had a mitzvah and a chiyuv to bring it to Yerushalayim. But nowadays, if you're makdash a korban, what do you do with it? Has anybody brought a korban to the Beis HaMikdash recently? Nobody. Right, you just have to take care of it, but you don't have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdash, which means that nowadays, even though you can bring it as a korban, you no longer have to.
You no longer have the ability to.
Well, the Rambam thinks you do. Okay. There may be technical obstacles. I don't want to talk about that tonight. We're just talking about a theoretical level. Rambam versus Ravid. Is there even any kedusha? I've heard that. A building there. Umidvarav lamadnu, and he says from there we learn dahadit nan sham akrivim avu bishen bayit enu el lomar shakaratok sheira. It just means that if you were to do it, it would be kosher. Avaloshi yesh mitzvah hakrivot. It doesn't mean that you have to do it. says, this is how we're going to solve the problem. That means that there are certain mumim that you could put on the base of you could put on the mizbech, but they're not really supposed to be there. Chayav leinaf bishein mitzvah klal barakavatan. Let's just get past this part to the part that we can simply understand. What about okay? The reason why he's bringing this up is there are some korbanot that some mumin that you can't put it on the mizbeach at all, and there are some mumin that if you were to put it on the mizbeach, you leave it there, even though you shouldn't have put it on to begin with, but you leave it there. And there are some mumin that even if you put it on the mizbeach, you have to take it off. It's not even ra'ui to be on the mizbeach anymore. So he says, if you're matil mum, the problem with hatalat mum is that you are making it not ra'ui lahakrava anymore. That's the point. The problem is that when you poke the eye out of the cow, you can no longer bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. That is why you get malkut. Because you can no longer, you basically have stolen this from the Mizbech. But what do you do if there's no mitzvah to do it? If there's no requirement anymore? You were never going to bring it to the Mizbech anyways. You're not mafsid hektish. He says, you have to be mechalek between the ability to bring the korban versus the status of the korban once you're makdish it. It doesn't have the same status that it had during the time of the Beit HaMikdash. When you had a Beit HaMikdash, and it could be easily brought to the Beit HaMikdash, then once you were makdish it, you had to. And if you didn't, then you were mafsid hektish. But nowadays, you're not mafsid hektish, because you were never going to bring it anyways, because of technical reasons, but not because of a fundamental reason. So since you were never going to bring it anyways, so there's not going to be the same level of isur to be matil mum. We still can't be matil mum, but if you do, it's not malkut. Now, he goes on, he asks the question. Ulam, ikar de v'achinuch da'afa b'shakash l'hakar v'zman hazeh, afa b'shein bayit, mikol mekol mitzoleika, l'chari tzorechin. Where do you get this from, though? Why don't we have to lahakiv korbanos shechiva Torah lahakivam? V'efshar v'shum dechtiv kama pamim b'Torah el petach ol moed da'inu heichal v'kodesh gadashim v'kevan shein bayit lo mechshava el petach. So he says because of a technical reason. One of the technical reasons why we can't bring the Beit bring korbano nowadays is because there's no petach ol moed. There's no doors of the ol moed. This is under dispute, but he suggests this is one of the technical reasons why we can't. We'll see other technical reasons. One of the technical reasons is that because it doesn't have the doors, so since you can't bring it to the Beit, you can't physically bring it as a korban, even though it's ra'ui l'hakrava, and the kedusha is still there, maybe that's why. Kedushato, kedushato lam, hu, v'lo mechshuva shchutichutz, mikol makom mitzvah miyuleika, is it no mitzvah? Fine. Good. Now, are there any other technical reasons why we can't bring the korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash? So many other technical reasons were given. We're tamei. We don't know who the kohanim are. We don't have tchelet, so we can't make their clothing. All kinds of technical reasons have been given. There have been some non-technical reasons also. If you look over here, there should be Binyan Tzion. It should have been in Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. During about 200 years ago, Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, big rabbi in Europe, he wrote a sefer called Drishat Zion,
right,
where he tried to argue that we should try to take back the Har Bayit,
yep,
and bring Korbanot. And he wrote a whole list of halachic arguments, and he wrote the letter and he sent it out to get responses. He wanted everything. He wanted everything. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wanted everything. He had a solution to all the problems. He wrote all the rabbis. Rabbis, some wrote back with support. He published those. Some wrote back with arguments against. He didn't publish those, but they got published anyways. You could buy like a book nowadays with like everything, the whole correspondence between everybody. And he thought he had the answer to everything. So the Shut Binyan Tzion is Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. He was one of the ones who was against it. I actually have, I think, yeah, two pieces of the Binyan Tiyan. This one actually just argues that the Rambam is right against the Ravid, so we can ignore that one. The next one actually is interesting. The Radbaz, let's go back in time for a second before Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. The Radbaz quotes a famous thing over here. He quotes the Kaftar of Aferach, who was one of the Rishonim, who apparently tried to organize a trip to Eretz Israel to bring the Korban Pesach. We don't know whether he succeeded or not. We're talking about 1257. Sorry, not the Baal Kaftar of Aferach himself, Rabbeinu Hanano, sorry. Rabbeinu Hanano tried to do it.
Was Rabbeinu Hanano in Spain or in...
No, he was Ashkenazi. I don't know exactly where he was. But he tried to do it. He didn't. He tried to bring Korban Pesach. He wasn't worried about Tumah because it's Korban Pesach, and you can bring Korban Pesach when you're Tamei.
All of Am Yisrael.
Yeah, you can bring a Korban Pesach when you're Tamei.
I thought you can't bring Korban Pesach away.
If everyone's Tamei, half the people are Tamei. So he wanted to figure out how they could do it. And the Radbaz expresses surprise. Like, how did he even try to do this? There were Muslims there and they won't let him in. How did they do that? Okay, fine. But you see that they actually did try. Now, the next page, the last page, you have the Binyan Tzion over here. Rav Yaakov Etlinger, I was telling you before, he was against it. Now, why was he against it? Al Dvar Shehele. He says, by the way, Joe, if you want, I can send you the file. I can send you this file. So he's responding. He gives a whole argument. He says, that's the Rambam. The Yolef Kain, me v'hashimoti at Mikdashaychem, right? Mikom akom. Right afterwards, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'lo ariach, v'reach nichoch achem. And I will not smell your reach nichoch. Now, what does that mean? The cave in Damrina b'zvachim, it says in zvachim, l'shem shisha dvarim hazevach nizbachu b'chlal al m'shem reach u'l'shem nichoach. You have to have six l'shems when you do a korban. And two of them are Reach and Nichoach. Lo yachlu l'hakriv korbanot l'achar korban. You can't, because it can never be Reach Nichoach anymore. Because Hashem said, when the Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed and when you're going to be in Galut, lo ha-reach v'reach Nichoach achem. Av b'shein bayit harei lo yachlu l'hakriv mishum lo ha-reach. Yesh lomar d'yesh nafkut al-in in ma'ad amin v'zvachim ha-mal b'zman hazeh. Okay, so this is his argument. It is and it isn't. In other words, the argument basically says that based on the pasuk in Vayikra, Hashem says he doesn't want to smell the korbanos when we're in a state of exile. And therefore, halachically, we can't bring korbanot because we lack the features that are required for a korban. As one of my friends pointed out, you know, the Nevi'im say a lot of things. You know, in the Nevi'im, Yeshayahu says, you know, I don't want your mitzvos, and I don't want your... Meaning, it could have been somewhat poetic over here, that, or it could have been predictive. V'lo ariach b'riach n'lachem. You will not bring korbanot. It doesn't have to mean I don't want to bring to smell your korbanot. But nevertheless, the Shud Binyan Tzion says it. The Netziv says it as well. If you look at the last source, the Netziv says it as well, based on the pasuk, which was in last week's parsha, the Chukosai. Avagav d'amikdash shomem mikol makom efshad d'yishayer mizbeach b'mkamol hakriv alav. Maybe even though the whole mikdash is destroyed, but mizbeach is still sitting there. Maybe we can still bring korbanos. Kmo shehav emes chorban bayis sheni d'mizman chorban abayis ad chorban beitar shaz nechrash heichal b'neras mizbeach hayon mizbeach kayam. It was still there. And they brought psachim. What about that? He says, no, I have the answer for that. And Tziv came up with a brilliant point. He said, all the korbanot are ishei reach nichoach l'Hashem, with the exception of the korban pesach, which does not require reach nichoach. So according to the Tziv, and this could be the explanation by the Kaftar Beferach also, that there is only one korban that you can still bring today. Today. At least with regards to this single problem. You can get rid of Tumah, you can get rid of Areach Rinchach. There could be other obstacles, but at least this one obstacle no longer, it does not exist for Korban Pesach because it's La Reach Bereach Nikach
Hachem. People do bring it.
It
is because of this that, take a look at this. The Tzitz Eliezer said, "Sheshalani im yesh makom nachmir b'zmanenu. Let's say Yerushalayim be'er Pesach b'zman hakarvat korban Pesach kadei she'achol alav dina nimtza b'derech rechochav lo yachol alav kiyuv korban zman. Do you have to leave Yerushalayim on erev Pesach to make sure you're not in the vicinity so that you're b'derech rechoka? Because if you were, then you have a chiyuv
to bring the korban
Pesach, which is a chiyuv karet. If you don't,
even if you don't, you still have Pesach shining if you come back."
No, well, no, but you're still chayav kares for not bringing korban rishon. Yes, you're chayav in Pesach Sheni.
Yes.
Ledati ain't called makom lechomer kazot. The Tzitz Eliezer says, no, I don't think so. The gam behimatzo bekiyuv makom lochalav kol chiyuv because there's no chiyuv. V'chol masha amalo besifrei psuk poskim hu rak al efsharut hakava v'lo al chiyuv. All the talk is only about efsharut, not al chiyuv. V'gam kein ruba deruba danu bazeh rak mimchina drosh v'kabel schar bilvad. No, it's just an academic issue. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, however, in 1967, told his chassidim to leave Israel before Erev Pesach. Every year.
Leave Israel, not just Yerushalayim?
Leave Israel. For I believe 6 years he told his chassidim to do this.
Why did he change his mind?
Because he realized that it was politically impossible that we would be bringing korbanot on Har HaBayit. But in 1967, he figured, you know, we really should be.
Wait a minute, the korban Pesach has to be brought on Har HaBayit?
In the area.
In the area.
Over there. Yep, that's the Azara.
Okay.
We only have access to the outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So he would tell them that they had to leave. He stopped telling them that in, I think, 1973, I think. Maybe a little bit before, a little bit after, I don't remember. You can look it up online. It's easy to find.
That's probably why the Tzadiyazah says what he says. He's in response to that.
Uh-huh. I don't know what year he wrote this. Don't know what year he wrote this. It's pretty early. Bet.
Tzadiyazah was before that. He was after the war, right?
Who?
Before
he died about 15 years ago.
Tzitz
Eliezer. He was amazing. He corresponded to Rav Moshe Feinstein. He and Rav Avadia have like these great conversations, like literally conversations and their tshuvas with each other. It was pretty amazing. But like I said, the Lubavitcher Rebbe took this seriously because Rabbavitcher Rebbe took it very seriously. He said, you got to get out of there.
And what about the Yisrael being against Yisrael? It wasn't so serious.
And the Dafka Lubavitcher Rebbe held, you know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe supposedly, this is the reason. He never set foot in Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
Because
he knew he would have to leave.
Uh-huh. And you couldn't leave.
The Rambam says you're not allowed to leave. So he didn't want to come to Eretz Yisrael.
But
he told his Talmidim to leave because he didn't want them to be Chayef Karis, I guess. Yeah.
Well, there was also talk of political. The Lubavitcher Rebbe knew that if he left Brooklyn, his chassidim would leave Brooklyn also.
So?
And there would be no more Lubavitch chassidim in Crown Heights.
Which kind of Lubavitch chassidim are in Crown Heights now? They're all Israeli. They're all Israeli. Remember when we went?
Yeah.
There was only Hebrew being spoken in 770.
Really?
It was all Hebrew. Yeah, because all the American ones are not Mashiachist, and they're turned off. Yeah. All the Israelis, well, that's the irony. And they're all young. All the Israeli ones never even saw him.
And all the Mashiachists. Is Mashiachist today in 770?
It's taken over.
The guy who showed us around, a young Israeli guy, said, this is the